From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The Federal Housing Administration has raised mortgage limits for 14 counties in California where housing prices are in the stratosphere. The limit was raised to roughly $730,000 from roughly $363,000. The temporary mortgage limits also apply to loans purchased or guaranteed by government-sponsored mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Lower-priced counties like Siskiyou and Glenn, to name two, will qualify for lower loan caps that are still higher than they were before. Officials at the FHA predict the change, part of the federal economic stimulus package, will help more than 30,000 individuals in California. There's a movie star in Sacramento serving as governor, so why not an NBA star for mayor? Kevin Johnson announced last night he's running for the seat. He's expected to face a tough fight against two-term incumbent Heather Fargo. Salmon fishermen in California are expecting another financial hit this summer because of record-low salmon runs in the Sacramento River. Fishermen and other salmon experts packed a conference room in Santa Rosa yesterday to hear population estimates from state officials and hash out ways to manage a fishery in crisis. As Craig Miller reports, regulators begin meeting this week to set the calendar for the upcoming season.
From the Oregon border to Morro Bay, salmon fishermen have the foreboding sense that the bell tolls for them. Official predictions show that fish available for this season's catch are running about one-third the average number.
It's not a pretty picture, that's for sure.
Duncan McLean fishes out of Half Moon Bay and advises regulators on behalf of salmon trawlers. He expects that officials will cut another whole month off the season, which was already shortened last year.
It'll obviously create a higher price, but I don't know if there's enough fish to make it worth anybody's while to go fishing.
At a meeting in Santa Rosa yesterday, state fish and game officials presented their best predictions of what salmon populations will be in the ocean this summer. Maria Vojkovich with Fish and Game admits that it doesn't look good, especially after recent reports of an epic crash in the population of Sacramento River Chinook.
Those fish are usually the backbone of our salmon industry, whether it's recreational, commercial, and in the river. It's very low, so we can't expect a miracle from what we've seen.
In a good year, salmon from commercial boats alone can reel in $150 million for the state's economy. It's been a while since we've seen a good year. And even veteran fishermen like Chuck Capato from Bodega Bay are on the verge of despair.
I think the thing you have to look at is that you've got people that earn their livelihood from one of the oldest industries in the world, dating back to biblical times, that are going to be squashed. This is another nail in the coffin of the commercial fishing industry.
The multi-agency Pacific Fishery Management Council now has the unenviable task of sifting through all the input and setting the calendar for the coming season. And they have little more than a month to do it. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
Every year about this time, Central California almond orchards fill with brilliant white blossoms ready to be pollinated by bees. California farmers grow 80% of the world's almonds, but they're battling a bee shortage because of a mysterious syndrome known as colony collapse disorder. Now some of the hives have gone missing. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca reports on how beekeepers are feeling the sting of bee bandits.
Beekeeper Brian Beekman, that's B-E-E-K-M-A-N, has been handling bees for almost three decades. Standing under a canopy of blooming almond trees, he says his fingers are so leathery, he doesn't feel bees' stingers anymore. He doesn't even notice when they nip him near his face.
Sometimes I get stung in one day, maybe 10 times, 12 times. And I get in bed at night and I'm like, God, why does my neck hurt so bad? You know, and I go, oh yeah, I forgot I got stung six times there on my neck, you know. You just get used to it. It's like anything else.
But he did feel a sharp pinch when he lost 400 hives to colony collapse disorder, which left just a few bees in each box. He spent long hours trying to keep the remaining bees alive, feeding them extra sugar syrup. And then a few months ago, 128 of his beehive boxes vanished altogether. They were stolen.
And all of a sudden, the bees, we come around the corner behind around a tree, and they were gone. And it's really amazing all the the sinking feeling you get in your stomach, and then you wonder, what am I going to do? Gee, what do I do now, you know? It took me a couple days to even, I couldn't sleep at night, I was just almost depressed.
Beekman lost $40,000 in bees, even though he'd branded his name and beekeeper ID number into each bee box.
Usually the theft problem is another beekeeper whose hives have died and doesn't have enough bees to keep his honor his contract, so he goes and steals somebody else's bees to cover his own rear end, basically. So that's kind of how I think it starts, you know.
And California farmers need more bees because they're planting more nuts as the price of almonds soars. At the same time, healthy bees are a hot commodity. Their value has tripled over the last 3 years. Rural crime detectives like Kent Jones with the Fresno County Sheriff's Department have been looking for hundreds of stolen hives. But Jones says it's almost impossible to track down a bee thief.
I would say 95% of the cases we get related to beehives, we're not going to have any investigative leads to follow up on, because, you know, they're there one morning and then overnight and they're gone the next, and all you have is tire track and shoe track evidence. You're not going to be able to pin down a specific person as to who took it.
The problem has gotten so bad, the California State Beekeepers Association set up a reward system. They're offering $10,000 for tips that lead to a successful arrest. There was some sweetness at the end of the story for beekeeper Brian Beekman. He took matters into his own hands and actually got his bees back. He'd heard rumors that a nearby beekeeper had been charged with bee theft before.
I found out where his honey house was, and then I staked out his honey house for three and a half days, sitting there in a car watching him through my rearview mirror waiting for him to leave the bee yard, and then I went out there into the bee yard, and that's where I found my colonies in there.
The other beekeeper had painted over Beekman's name on the boxes, but the branded wood still spelled out Beekman's beekeeper number. The stolen bees had mites, and Beekman nursed them back to health. They're flying around in an undisclosed location this week, pollinating almonds. The suspected bee bandit is facing felony grand theft charges and possible prison time. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
To check out pictures of Brian Beekman's hives, buzz on over to our website at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Thursday, March 6th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California. On the web at calhospitalcompare.org.